Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this program is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine. Up front, the A-list, Brooke Shields, 6 Tips for Living Your Best Life. 1. Find quiet. A few people at dinner is all I feel I want to do right now. Being extra social has always been a job for me. 2. Stay grounded. In January, I broke my femur, the biggest bone in the body. Go big or go home. It was a freak accident on a balance board. I also went horseback riding and fell off the horse and jumped into surfing and got a concussion. Now I'm thinking, Brooke, you need to stay on the ground. Don't be an idiot. Mind the livestock. We shot a castle for Christmas in Scotland, and the cows there would make us late for work. They would sit down in the middle of the road, and we would be like, oh, traffic is horrible today. 4. Bring your A game. Because I've been laid up, I've been playing games like backgammon and cribbage, which isn't relaxing because I don't like to lose, so I always bring my A game. 5. Love your shape. Women need to stop comparing their bodies and understand how unique and amazing we are. Instead of focusing on what's wrong with us, too narrow, too curvy, etc., we should focus on what we love about ourselves. 6. Ladies, pivot now. My new website, Beginning Is Now, is a raw, funny look at how women embrace pivots at every age. I want to celebrate their new chapters, whether becoming an empty nester or the vice president. These comments were told to Natasha Stoyanov. Actress Brooke Shields launched beginningisnow.com in September and stars in the film A Castle for Christmas on Netflix starting this month in November. Brooke is 56 years old, and she says this for her children. I try to teach my kids that courage is an element of life that we need to respect and summon, and sometimes you have to do it blindly. So to give equal time to the males in our audience, let's look at Ricky Gervais, What I Know Now. The fearless British comedian wants you to know the joke isn't personal. Pandemic highs and lows. If someone told me as a young man, hey, in 2021, not only are you still alive, but you're famous and wealthy, I would have said, wow, that's fantastic. I never dreamt I would live that long, and certainly not as an international comedian. But then they would say, okay, but the bad news is all your gigs are canceled because there's a pandemic on. And I would go, oh, crap. Life as improv. There's no path. I didn't want to be an astronaut. I didn't want to be a heavyweight boxer. I only knew the worst thing to be was a bore. Growing up in working class in England, people would accept a fun murderer over an honest bore. So you could either fight or make people laugh. Wealth is how you define it. I didn't know I was poor because my mother knitted all my jumpers. She made our Christmas presents, did all the decorating, grew things in the garden that she then cooked. I always thought men work hard, but women work miracles. Starting late. I wrote the British version of The Office at 39. It came out when I was 40. Jane Fallon, Gervais' partner, and I had been together almost 20 years. I had friends, I had life experiences, I knew who I was, and remember sitting around in a tux drinking wine. I said to Jane, why didn't I do this earlier? She said, because you wouldn't have been any good. People, it's a joke. Every joke reminds somebody of something bad, and somebody will get upset. I did a joke on Twitter that sums it up. Why did the chicken cross the road? Answer, F blank 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 you. My chicken was run over yesterday. What can you do? Leave politics out of it. I hate when I hear left-wing comedian or right-wing comedian. I think we shouldn't know what wing a comedian is. What's funny about a comedian coming out and telling you exactly what he believes? Award show wisdom. If you want to have an awards show, great. But if you don't want to make it fun, don't televise it. I try to make it a spectator sport. I know what I'm doing. There aren't rooms full of wounded soldiers. These are billionaires and the heads of massive media conglomerates. If you can't punch at the richest, most privileged people, who can you have a go at? And finally, a mind at full throttle. At 60, I'm like an old classic car. There are a few dings and dents, a few things I need to repair. But my body is just a chassis. My mind is what I care about, and that's what I want to stay sharp. So I learn things. I'll find Albert Einstein on YouTube explaining the theory of relativity, or I'll listen to a podcast about the deep reaches of space. It almost makes me forget that when I play tennis now, my body hurts for 3 weeks, not 3 minutes. And this was as told to David Hockman. Ricky is 60. Created, writes, directs, and stars in Netflix's Afterlife, which will return for its third and final season in 2022. Now, let's move on to the Complete Guide to Heart Health for People Over 50, and we're continuing with our article about women's health and women's heart attacks. The menopause effect. Women do have one major point in their favor. Before menopause, the natural hormone estrogen, which is produced by the ovaries, provides some protection against heart disease. It helps keep blood vessels flexible, allowing them to expand and handle blood flow. After menopause, however, estrogen production and its protective effect ebbs. About 10 years after the onset of menopause, which normally occurs around age 54, women see an increase in heart attacks. The solution might seem obvious. Take supplemental estrogen. Unfortunately, though, it's not that simple, according to Goldberg. There was a study in 2002 by the Women's Health Initiative, and it looked at the use of hormone therapy to lower the risks of heart disease. It showed that it didn't, she says. One of the arguments of the study was that maybe some of the women were 10 years into menopause, and so it was too late for the hormone therapy to help them. But nobody has done any new studies to show that getting hormone therapy purely to reduce heart disease is effective. We don't do that. While the prevalence of heart disease in women over 50 has stayed relatively steady, according to Bond, it doesn't remain the number one killer in the United States for both men and women. And though the incidence of heart disease is higher in men, women are dying of it at a greater rate. Protect yourself. But there's no need to get discouraged. Heart disease is preventable 80% of the time. Knowing what your risk factors are and making sure they're optimally managed are easy enough ways for us to hopefully get you on that healthy path. So, if your blood pressure's elevated, that means controlling it through lifestyle or possibly medication. The same goes for cholesterol and blood sugar. Don't forget to advocate for yourself, too. If your doctor doesn't inquire about your mental health or whether you had pregnancy complications, volunteer that information. Good lifestyle habits can go a long way as well. What we suggest is a healthy diet that is more plant-based. More important is exercise. At least 150 minutes of some sort of cardio, which could include brisk walking, per week. Goldberg warns against falling into a trap so many women find themselves in, being so focused on taking care of your family that you fail to take care of yourself. Women also put off calling 911 more often than men do, she adds. They're afraid of being embarrassed, like what if they go and they don't have heart problems? Ask yourself instead, what will happen if you don't call and you are having a heart attack? Being proactive, both when it comes to risk factors and emergencies, is always the best course of action. So some sidebar articles here. Susan Lucci had two stents in her heart at age 71. Rosie O'Donnell had a heart attack at age 50. 1 in 31 women will die from breast cancer versus 1 in 3 from heart disease. A heart attack may feel more like the flu, with nausea, fatigue, body aches, and indigestion, than the classic chest pain symptoms. So here's another sidebar article, Know the Symptoms. Could you or someone close by be having a heart attack? It's important for men and women to be aware of all the symptoms, says Nisha Goldberg, MD. While women can present with chest pain, one-third of the time they have atypical symptoms. If you're not sure and it doesn't feel right, get checked out. So here we have the symptom. The first I'll read, well, I'll just tell you if they're men and women or neither or both. Chest pressure, common to both. Chest pain, for both. Pain in the arms, one or both. Jaw, neck, stomach or back, both. Shortness of breath, both, men and women. Nausea, both. The following three, though, are checked just for women. Extreme tiredness, fainting, and dizziness. Next time, we will look at high blood pressure, the silent killer. Now, after that slightly stressful article, let's go to prevention, find your calm, and look at some more ways to stay calm. Pay attention to the feelings and sensations each object evokes. Try to relate them to something else in your life. And with this comment, there's a picture of someone holding a beautiful flower in their hands and just studying that flower. All right, so outdoors. When you're outside, try a scavenger meditation from Danny Penman, co-author of Mindfulness, A Practical Guide to Finding Peace in a Frantic World. Collect 3 to 5 objects that catch your eye. A leaf with lovely veins, a smooth rock, a pretty flower. Then find a quiet place to sit and examine the items, focusing on one at a time. Pay close attention to the feelings and sensations each object evokes, and try to relate them to something else in your life. Does the object bring back a certain memory? Number 6, on a stroll. This mantra-based walking meditation can help turn an unhurried stroll into a powerful mental reset. As you're walking, start by taking a moment to return to your senses, says Goldstein. Slow down and tune into your surroundings. Then shift your attention to the movement of your body and your breathing. Each time you take a step, silently repeat the word, here, as a reminder to yourself to stay in the moment. Another option is to create a mantra of your own and to sync it with your breath. As you inhale, repeat something you would like to welcome into your day, perhaps energy or joy. As you breathe out, silently repeat a word that describes a feeling that you would like to release, like stress, anxiety, or fear, and imagine yourself letting it go with each exhale. Finally for today, number 7, on a brisk walk. Practicing mindfulness can turn your exercise regimen into a full mind-body workout. A study published in the journal Translational Psychiatry found that combining meditation and aerobic exercise can reduce depression and ruminative thinking by up to 40%, making the combination more effective than either activity on its own. As you walk, focus on sounds you hear in the environment. whether that's cars driving by on the street or dogs barking in the park. Commit to staying completely focused on what you hear for 5 to 10 minutes. When you notice your mind wandering, gently try to bring it back to the sounds of the present moment. All right, now back to AARP, the magazine, and the Money Saver section. A field guide to financial advisors. To track down a qualified professional, look for these telltale signs. Just as there's a medical specialist for most every ailment, there's a financial specialist for most every money-related problem or need. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, Wall Street's self-regulatory organization, lists 212 different credentials or designations, ranging from AAI, Accredited Advisor in Insurance, to WMS, Wealth Management Specialist. So when the time comes to seek professional help to plan retirement, finances, deal with debt, rethink investments, or take on any other money-related task, your first move is to find the right expert. But all those abbreviations that pros list on their business cards, certifications, designations, and memberships they use as evidence of their pedigree, education, and expertise can confuse more than inform. Some designations have real coursework behind them, and others are designed to look like they do, says Barbara Roper, senior advisor to the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission. To make it easier to find the best advice for your particular financial need, here's a guide to some key identifying marks and credentials of relevant experts. Remember, though, credentials are only part of the equation. In the end, you want a pro who has real, hands-on experience helping people with situations like yours. Advisor number one, the tax preparer. If your return is fairly basic, you can hire any reputable professional who has what's known as a preparer tax identification number, or a PTIN, which is required for individuals who get paid to prepare returns. You can also get your return prepared for free by an AARP Foundation Tax Aid volunteer. Learn more about that at aarp.org/taxaid, A-I-D-E. Got something more complex? For instance, you own a business with inventory? Look for an enrolled agent, EA, granted by the IRS. The EA designation indicates that a professional has an expertise in tax procedures and, unlike many other tax preparers, can represent you in an IRS audit. EAs earn the credential either through working at the IRS or by passing a three-part exam. Like EAs, certified public accountants, CPAs, can do your taxes and meet with the IRS, but they can also handle other accounting needs. Many have specialties, such as personal finance planning, see advisor number three, and business valuation. They undergo a lengthy course of study, usually several semesters worth of college-level courses, and they pass a rigorous national exam. Where to find one? An EA. You go to taxexperts.naea.org. For a CPA, go to AICPA.org/for-the-public/find-a-CPA. Advisor number two, the bill manager. Sometimes it's not the big picture that you need help with, but the daily expenses. For instance, you may be a 60-year-old overwhelmed by tracking your 90-year-old mom's medical bills and caregiving costs. A certified daily money manager, CDMM, can help you with tasks like paying household bills and filling out health insurance claims. Certification by the American Association of Daily Money Managers requires a minimum of 1,500 hours of paid daily money management work in the past 3 years, or its rough equivalent, a background check, and a passing score on a 100-question exam. Many daily money managers also are bonded and insured. Where to find one? CDMM is the designation. secure.aadmm.com/find-a-dmm. Avoiding fraudulent advisors. How to make sure you're not being duped by a financial advisor. 1. Check that the advisor is permitted to sell securities or give investment advice and has a clean record. Visit brokercheck.finra.org or call FINRA at 800-289-9999. Insurance sellers need a state license. 2. If he or she uses a title, find out who awarded it and what it required. Some titles take little effort to obtain. FINRA has a directory of designations at finra.finra.org/investors/professional-designations. 3. Watch for red flags when you first meet, such as promises of above-market returns or risk-free investing, a hard sell on certain products, or failure to ask about your specific financial needs and goals. Advisor number 3 is the financial planner. For help with your overall finances, including investments, retirement, and budgeting, a widely recognized standard is the Certified Financial Planner, CFP, credential. A CFP is the Swiss Army knife of helping you with all the planning for your future, says Steve Gurney, publisher of the Positive Aging Sourcebook. Requirements for becoming a CFP include 3 years of financial planning experience and a difficult exam. Some CPAs have the credential of Personal Financial Specialist, PFS, indicating additional experience and training in core subject areas like estate planning and retirement. Like a CFP, a chartered financial consultant, CHFC, offers a broad financial planning support to clients. Coursework for the designation is similar to that of a CFP. Where to find one? CFP. Let'sMakeAPlan.org. Also try the Financial Planning Association, Planners Search. That's PLANNERSEARCH.org. Or the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, NAPFA.org. /find-an-advisor. For a CPA and an PFS, go to AICPA.org /for-the-public/find-a-CPA. For a CHFC, youradvisorguide.com /find-a-professional. And finally, advisor number 4, the insurance agent. If you're looking for auto, property, or life insurance, you can compare policies online, but it often pays to use an agent, either one who works for a single company or an independent agent, who can help you compare policies from different insurers. Though agents must have a state license, they don't need any specialized credentials. There are some very talented agents who don't have any designations, points out Loretta Worthers, spokesperson for the Insurance Information Institute. Still, a designation indicates that an agent has taken extra steps to gain a thorough understanding of his or her field. A chartered life underwriter, CLU, for instance, has studied the role of insurance in estate planning and retirement planning and how to use annuities to earn this designation from the American College of Financial Services. Agents must have 3 years of experience and complete 8 courses. For property or auto insurance, look for an agent with a Chartered Property Casualty Underwriter, CPCU, designation. The CPCU is one of the most respected designations in the industry. It typically takes 2 to 3 years to complete a CPCU, according to the institutes, the organization that issues the credential. And advisor number 5, the estate planner, granted by National Association of Estate Planners and Councils, accredited estate planner, AEP, is the granddaddy of estate planning designations. CPAs and CFPs, among others, can help with life insurance, property transfers, charitable giving, and more. For drafting wills and other legal documents, seek out a licensed attorney. AEP qualifications include 5 years of experience in estate planning and continuing education. This you can find at naepc.org. Click on Public, then find an estate planner near you. Lots of information here. Now a quick note from Upfront Listen in AARP the magazine. Bam! Pow! Rock! Famous musicians are the new heroes of graphic novels. To their fans, Elvis Presley, The Grateful Dead, Charlie Parker, and Blondie aren't just musicians, they're superheroes. So why not put their stories in comic format? Z2 Comics has done just that, issuing biographies and stories inspired by classic albums. I'm hoping it will be for younger fans who really don't know much about The Doors, said guitarist Robbie Krieger of the book The Doors, Morrison Hotel. In 2017, after packaging a graphic novel called Murder Ballads with an original soundtrack co-written by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, Z2 began working steadily with bands and their estates. Some upcoming titles focus on Freddie Mercury, Chuck D, and Joan Jett. It's a medium that's very approachable and can cut across all age groups, said Z2 co-founder Josh Frankel. If you read comics in the 60s, you can read them now and share them with your kids and grandkids. Now, a few more bits of wisdom sent to me by my friend in Canada. I tried the Japanese method of decluttering, where you hold every object that you own, and if it does not bring you joy, you throw it away. So far, I have thrown out all of the vegetables, my bra, the electric bill, the scale, a mirror, and my treadmill. Okay, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.